Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for My Lowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
On September 19th of 2024 in Whitesburg, Kentucky, District Judge Kevin R. Mullins was gunned down in his courthouse chambers. That day, surveillance footage showed former Lector County Sheriff Sean Mickey Steins entering Mullins' chambers after staff had cleared the room. He closed the door behind him, and moments later, the camera recorded multiple shots. It is not a fictional scene. In that room, the sheriff shot the judge. Steins did not flee. He surrendered in the courthouse foyer, hands raised. Within 2 months, a grand jury indicted him for the murder of a public official. He then, well, he resigned, not like he had a whole lot of choice, quite honestly, in the matter, from his position as sheriff shortly after the shooting. That much is not in dispute here. The real question, the one haunting this case, is why? What could drive a sitting sheriff to kill a sitting judge? And what does this act reveal about the courthouse, the community, and the systems meant to safeguard justice? To unlock that, we have to go back to a civil lawsuit filed 2 years before the murder in 2022. A woman named Sabrina Atkins filed suit against Ben Fields, a court security officer and home incarceration monitor. She alleged that during her court-ordered supervision, Fields coerced her into sexual acts in exchange for favorable treatment. The suit also alleged that some of these acts took place inside Judge Mullins' chambers. In 2024, the same year Mullins was killed, Fields pled guilty to multiple criminal charges, including SA and many others. He admitted to abusing his role for his own gratification. The civil case, which also named Lector County officials for failing to supervise Fields, is still ongoing. The court has allowed the core claims, including the use of the judge's chambers as a site of abuse, to proceed to trial. 3 days before the shooting, Steins gave a deposition in that very lawsuit. According to people close to the case, the statements from local officials, the deposition was unusually tense. In the days that followed, Steins' behavior reportedly shifted. Friends and colleagues said he appeared agitated. Some staged an informal intervention, allegedly, concerned that he was unraveling. What came out in that deposition? On the day of the shooting, courtroom surveillance shows Steins entering the judge's chambers alone with Mullins. According to grand jury testimony and available video footage, Mullins handed his phone to Steins just before the attack. Steins used it to place a call to his daughter, a moment that investigators later scrutinized. Some speculated about possible personal motives, but no evidence has ever emerged to suggest a relationship existed between Mullins and Steins' daughter. The grand jury and both families have denied any such link as well. Still, the phone call remains a focal point in understanding the mindset of a man who just minutes later pulled the trigger. Steins' defense team has since filed legal motions to support a mental health-based defense, arguing that he was under extreme emotional disturbance at the time of the shooting. They've asked the court to unseal competency and criminal responsibility evaluations. Prosecutors have opposed the request, arguing that those records could prejudice a jury and compromise the fairness of the trial. Court records paint a disturbing picture of Steins' mental state following the shooting. In jail, he was reportedly found in an active state of psychosis. Staff had to use pepper spray after he became combative. A social worker noted that he didn't appear to fully understand the charges against him. His attorneys say he hadn't slept in days following the deposition and describe his mental condition as deteriorating rapidly. But mental disturbance isn't a legal excuse. It's a factor a jury can consider. The central question remains, did he knowingly, intentionally, and unlawfully commit murder? The surveillance video reportedly shows no signs of hesitation. Steins enters the chambers, closes the door, fires multiple shots, and turns back to fire again. There's no visible retreat or indecision. The video doesn't tell us why, but it tells us that he meant to do it. Meanwhile, the federal civil case continues. A judge has ruled that the core allegations against Ben Fields, including a claim that he used Judge Mullen's chambers as a venue for SA, are strong enough to be heard by a jury. While Fields has been convicted criminally, the civil suit could expose broader failures, including whether others in power knew what was happening and did nothing or participated. The implication is chilling that the very room where justice was meant to be dispensed may have been used to exploit vulnerable women. And if that's true, then Mullen's chambers were more than a crime scene on the day he was killed. They were already compromised long before a gun was drawn. Still, the indictment against Steins is about one thing, murder. It'll be up to a jury to decide if the shooting was an act of temporary madness or a calculated, unlawful vigilante event. The case has already sparked many legal battles over where the trial should be held, whether Stein should be granted bond, or whether his psychiatric evaluation should remain sealed. Defense attorneys argue that the intense public scrutiny surrounding this case, especially in a community still grieving and reeling, makes a fair trial in Lector County impossible. Prosecutors maintain that the evidence, especially the video, speaks for itself. And let's play the card here, too. If there is a conspiracy going on and the system itself that is under scrutiny for, as it's been described by some, as running a brothel in the judge's chamber, and there's many other people involved, I'm going to take a wild guess and say you're not going to get fair and equal justice anywhere near that courthouse. So yes, moving it elsewhere is in the best interest of everyone. 1 year later, the courthouse community remained shaken. Interviews with court employees reveal lingering trauma. The courtroom where the shooting happened has become both a symbol and scar, the sight of a system breaking down and a system trying to right itself. What's most striking about this case is the weight of choice. Sheriff Steins didn't snap without warning. He was under pressure, yes, but pressure is not permission. Stress is not a license. Desperation doesn't pull a trigger. He knew what a gun could do, and he chose to bring one to the courthouse. That's where accountability must begin. We don't yet know how the jury will see it, but we do know this. The role of motive is not to excuse an act, it's to explain it. The role of mental health is not to absolve guilt, it's to inform it. The role of evidence is not to anchor us to facts, not story, not myth. In the end, 12 jurors will decide whether a man who was supposed to enforce the law instead weaponized it. They'll be asked to judge not just a killing, but a collapse, and whether the cost of silence, fear, and unchecked power is something the justice system can still reckon with. Because if power is God's surrogate, then accountability is its shadow. And in this case, the shadow cannot be ignored. A lot of questions, and not a lot of answers yet in this case. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section, wherever you may be watching this or listening to this. This is some new interviews and reporting that Brian Enten has put out. I would suggest going and watching and checking out. Brian Enten Reports is his channel, where he talks with some of the alleged victims. In fact, the very victim we're talking about in this case, who made the allegations that she was taken advantage of by these authorities. Check that out. Give me your thoughts on the case in the comments section. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real quick.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.